When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today it is Matt Scraby, Braden Soprena, and Adam Klug from here on now on 97.3 The Fan. Chris is on vacation. He's going to be back next week. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back for the Big Five here in about 35 or 40 minutes, and we are about to play Chris versus the Fans. And Braden yesterday took part in his first ever Chris versus the Fans, and it didn't go well for you, Braden. Didn't go well.
I only got one question. It was the hardest one.
Question number three is. It's the hard question.
Right. Well, predated my time, too.
If you are on the line, you need to stay on the line because you have a good chance of winning. And if you win, you'll qualify for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Wynn or Encore Las Vegas and two tickets to see Awakening. Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas, dazzles audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, comedic moments, and more. At the heart of this compelling story, a hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world. A mythic adventure unfolds set amid the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. Also, if you win, you will win a pair of tickets, and it'll be in your hands, well, not in your hands, on your phone, to Eric Clapton at Pechanga Arena on October 8th. Limited tickets remain at AXS.com. So without further ado, let's get into Braden versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The rules for the game. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And of course, I mean, when I say Chris, I meant Braden there. Again, Ron Burgundy, one more time. Chris vs. the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. And... And if you are a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get the first question for free. You know, one thing I like when Adam works in studio, if you're watching the YouTube stream, he loves to put his hood on his head. He's cold in here. He's a hoodie guy. It is kind of cold in here. That's why I'm wearing this pullover. You're wearing a t-shirt, so you must not be too cold, Brady.
I'm not that cold.
Okay.
There's a community alt 94.9 hoodie back there.
There is.
That's been sitting in here for a long time.
That's been sitting in here a long time. Ages. I don't even know who wears it. I think it's too small.
Let's not hurt ourselves, there, buddy.
Almost ripped out the unit over here. But yes, here is our alt 94.9 community hoodie. That's like a double X. Let's see. It's a large. Okay, that's big enough.
That could fit me. I'm not cold though.
Okay, well if you need it, it's right here, Brady.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into the game. Let's go to our first contestant, and I am going to go with Peter in UTC. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Question number one. How long is an NBA shot clock?
5 or no?
You do not have a lifeline on a question number one.
35
seconds. That is incorrect. Brayden, do you know?
Is it 25 seconds?
That is incorrect as well. Wow, you are still alive, Peter. It's 24 seconds.
Oh.
24 seconds.
I don't watch the NBA.
You ever watch a basketball game before?
I watch college basketball.
College basketball is 35 seconds, so that would have been correct, Peter, if it was college.
No, I don't watch the NBA. It's boring.
Yeah, all right. I only watch college.
All right, well, you're moving on no matter what, Peter. Here we go. Question number two. What equestrian sport is played on horseback and features two teams using mallets to hit a ball through goalposts?
Polo.
Polo is correct.
Marco.
I needed to be a little bit more dramatic on that one. All right, we're here to question number three. You get this right or Brayden gets it wrong, and you are going to be qualified for a trip to Las Vegas, and you will also win those tickets to Eric Clapton. Here we go. Who is the only NBA player who has averaged a triple-double four times in their career?
LeBron James.
I think he said LeBron James. That is incorrect. Stay there. Brayden.
What was the, can you repeat the question?
Who is the only NBA player, who is this, Chris Ello over here? You remind me so much of him sometimes.
Yeah, pay attention, Brayden.
Who is the only NBA
player?
There he is. I miss him, kind of. Not really. Who is the only NBA player who has averaged a triple-double four times in their career?
Over the course of a season, I assume. Averaged a triple-double would be...
Russell Westbrook?
Doesn't matter, because that is correct. The question I got from a book, so... That's a good question, Adam. They didn't specify in the book. So, all right. I'm sorry, Peter. Brayden gets that right, and he spoils the dreams of Peter for going to Eric Clapton.
Shouldn't have told me to pay attention. I would have thrown it for
you.
He
talks trash to you,
right.
And you figure it out.
We'll see
you. All right, let's go to our next contestant. We'll go to Cesar in San Diego. Hello, Cesar.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
Let's do this.
All right, question number one. What is the nickname for the famous NFL play that involved New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez running full speed into the back of a teammate?
SportsCenter, not top 10, butt fumble.
Yes, that is correct. I wonder if that's what happened to Mark Sanchez while he was out there. Still one of the funniest things in the world.
If that happened.
Hey, by the way, side note, Mark Sanchez, I like him on football games. I think he's fun. I don't know about you guys, but I do. All right.
The Sanchez.
Question number two. That's Gary Sanchez. All right, Cesar, here we go.
They called Mark Sanchez the Sanchez, too.
Did they?
Yeah, it was in New York. He was there before Gary Sanchez.
All right. What French soccer player recently signed with Real Madrid for a 5-year deal worth $16 million annually?
Mbappe.
Mbappe is correct. Nice job. Here we go. Final question.
I have no idea who Mbappe is.
You have to know who Mbappe is.
I do not watch soccer.
One of the biggest athletes in the world. Adam knows who Mbappe is.
I don't watch soccer.
It's a Hanson song, right?
Mbop is what you're thinking of. I haven't thought about Mbop in forever.
Kids Bop?
Anyway. Alright, here we go, Cesar. Who's the most recent player to win the NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP in the same season?
Cam Newton?
He didn't win.
Give him some leeway here.
I'm going to go with Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Incorrect. Braden, who is the most recent player to win the NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP in the same season?
Patrick Mahomes.
That is correct.
Wow.
Sorry about that, Cesar. Patrick Mahomes is correct.
Breaking hearts over here.
You are breaking hearts today. Good job.
I went and studied last night just in case.
You did. Just read a trivia book or something.
That's right. I found the one that you were looking at, and okay. I studied all the answers.
Let's go to Bill in San Diego. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Here we go. Question number one. What does the Mets in New York Mets stand for?
Metropolitans.
I'm sorry?
That is correct.
Metropolitans.
Yeah, there we go. I'll give it to you. That was good enough. Here we go. Question number two. How many times has Tiger Woods won the Masters?
Numbers in my head. I'll say five.
Five is correct. Nice job.
Wow.
That was pretty impressive right there. All right. Final question. We've done this a couple times now, so maybe you can get past Braden here. Third and final one. What old-time player was nicknamed Houdini of the Hardwood? NBA player. Need an answer, or you can say Pat. You don't know.
John Hamachek.
Okay, that is incorrect. Braden, what old-time NBA player was nicknamed Houdini?
No chance against
of the hardwood.
I don't know. Pistol Pete Maravich.
Oh, at least he gave me an old-school name. That is incorrect. And Bill is the winner. Is actually Bob Cousy.
Never heard of that guy before.
Yes, thank you so much for playing, Bill. You are going to be qualified for a trip to Las Vegas, and you will be getting those tickets for Eric Clapton. You never heard of Bob Cousy?
I don't know if you've noticed. I don't watch the NBA, and I don't watch soccer.
You've never just come across the name Bob Cousy in all your sports dealings?
Nope.
Okay.
If it's NBA related, I don't care. I think it's incredibly boring. So I don't watch and I don't pay attention.
What makes you think it's incredibly boring?
It's boring. Just to say it's just so boring.
I don't understand.
I'd rather watch paint dry than watch the NBA.
Wow. Wow. What about college basketball?
I love college basketball.
But what's the difference?
Passion.
Okay. You get me there.
They play hard.
You get me there. Sometimes. Now it's kind of changing a little bit with this NIL.
The pageantry.
We're going to talk about the
NIL. We also don't have an NBA team, so I've never gotten into the NBA.
Well, that's true.
If Sandy got an NBA team during my lifetime, I'd be like, oh, cool.
We're going to talk about this UNLV NIL situation with the quarterback in the Big Five, but it's becoming a complete mess. And even stuff has come out since we started the show. But the basic gist of the story is the quarterback for the team decided he was going to leave the team after three games and do a redshirt year because he was allegedly promised $100,000 from UNLV for NIL, and he was only allegedly paid $3,000. The college, on the other hand, says that they were being strong-armed for this money, and we talk about it in the Big Five. Braden has a pretty good perspective on the whole thing, but it's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, and Tony alludes to this as well, and it kind of makes a lot of, I understand the path that they've been on. You know, the thing that really drove this off the rails was the whole situation of not being able to make money off your name, image, and likeness. And that and the thing that was weird was, like, you would have, like, a track athlete committed to a school that, while in high school, had, like, a YouTube page, and it did really well, and he couldn't continue it because he wasn't allowed to make money when he got to college, and that was utterly ridiculous. He was
there
doing
was
something
a UCF
separate.
Kicker that did that, too.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, those situations, and there was a lot of those situations where they were unable to make any type of money, and the situations of, like, you couldn't buy an 18-year-old a meal if you were the school,
yeah,
like, on recruiting
ridiculous.
And stuff like that. Just such ridiculous rules that didn't account for really common sense. But but now it's like they've used that and they turned it into the pay for play, which is drastically different than just a kid making money off of his name, image, or likeness. And it's created this dynamic in this world where everybody's chasing the bag, and that's basically it. I think that's a major contributor why the NFL product has gone down. I think it's a major contributor why a lot of sports products have gone down.
Because the good players are staying in school now?
No, or setting a precedent where if you do not make your team or whatever, they leave. I mean, you just, at the first sign of adversity, we're out.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, but yes, we will get into that. In the
there's it's out of hand. It's been out of hand. It was out of hand before the NIL stuff. It's even more out of hand now, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, it will. But that conversation happens in about 30 minutes or so. When we get back, I'm going to tell you the one thing that's bumming me out about this Padres season. When we get back here on 97.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know. All your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We have a lineup, everybody. Thank you, Adam, for getting the lined up sounder. And it's not much different from last night. The only difference is that Elias Diaz is catching tonight instead of Kyle Higashioka. So it goes Arise at the DH, and then Tatis, Profar, Machado, Merrill, Bogarts, Cronenworth, Solano, and Diaz. Dylan Cease pitching for the Padres. Jack Flaherty pitching for the Dodgers. So why not run it back, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, all the people that were afraid that they're going to be hungover today. Just come on, they're going to be all right.
They're going to be fine. It's going to, you know what? They can sleep until like at least noon. You know, Tony had to be up a little bit earlier so he could record the show with us, but they can sleep for as long as they want.
I'm glad the game was at 7:10. That's as much. Yeah. That's where I'm at. But.
All right. Before we went to break, I said that I'm going to tell you something that's bumming me out about this Padres season, and I have been seeing. I've been one of the bigger champions out there for Jackson Merrill Rookie of the Year. And I've been championing hard all season long, saying that he is more impressive to me because he is an everyday player playing a position he's never played before, and it's his rookie season, and he's still hitting over 290, and he's hit over 20 home runs, and he has almost 90 RBIs. But I am seeing the tide turn back towards Paul Skeens, and I hope I'm wrong. I will gladly wear this, but my feeling is that Paul Skeens is going to win the Rookie of the Year award. He's been great. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not deserving of the award. Last night he went five innings, or the last time he pitched, he went five innings, gave up two hits, nine strikeouts. His ERA on the season is 1.99. He's 11-3, has 167 strikeouts, 0.96 whip. But when we were going at, there was an article about the top 20. Let's see, breakout players in 2024, and they wrote that Paul Skeens was one of those players, and here's the quote. This rookie is on quite a ride. There are several worthy candidates for NL Rookie of the Year, but if I had to pick one, I'd go with Skeens. Not only that, Braden, the odds now were in favor of Jackson Merrill for a long time. Paul Skeens is back on top in Vegas in regards to the odds. So I don't know how you feel, but I feel like they're going to give it to Paul Skeens, and I will forever feel like Jackson Merrill was robbed of this award.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't like awards. I think they're dumb because of things like this, narratives like this. There's no reason Paul Skeens should win the Rookie of the Year award over Jackson Merrill, who is banking a huge impact on a team that is going to the playoffs, a team that is one of the favorites, you know, that a lot of experts are picking to make a run in the playoffs, potentially win the National League pennant, a player that plays every single day, a player that switched from shortstop to center field, who had only played about 40 games in double-A ball before making this gigantic impact. I don't understand the logic in this to give the award to Paul Skeens because, what, he's hyped? Believe the hype. We love the hype. I mean, he's really good. But he didn't play a full season in Major League Baseball. He didn't play the full season.
He still doesn't qualify for the ERA title.
He doesn't qualify for Cy Young. He doesn't qualify for the ERA title. He pitches every 5 days. His team is lousy. I don't understand. And I don't even think, like, it has to be your team doesn't have to be great in order to win. But baseball wants to do this because they think it's hype and they like the hype. They like the Livy Dunn aspect. I mean, it's a story and it's a narrative. For all the Aztec fans out there that I'm sure got upset about the Heisman when Marshall Faulk should have clearly won the Heisman Trophy and they gave it to Gino Toretta instead. Awards are dumb. They're dumb. I don't understand.
See, I don't necessarily think I can go to awards are dumb because I do think awards mean something and you can look back on it. But you're right in this case. Like, this award is a popularity award this year. If Paul Skeens was not there with Jackson Merrill, then it would be an easy award to give to Jackson Merrill. But Paul Skeens is more popular in the eyes of Major League Baseball, in the eyes of voters, because apparently, you know, he's making history with what he's doing as a rookie pitcher. But at the same time, Jackson Merrill is doing it in a high pressure situations, and he's changing the game on both sides, defensively, offensively, and I just can't think that Paul Skeens could have as big of an impact as Jackson Merrill has had on his team this year. And you said it. His team stinks. The Pirates are not good. Paul Skenes can't save that team. Jackson Merrill at one point this year, when they were in Pittsburgh, by the way, had a couple home runs that did save this team at the time. And I think that's it's going to go to Paul Skenes because of the popularity contest. But
I that's why. And but the thing is this what also makes it dumb about it. They attached incentives to these awards, right?
That's
we talked
true.
About that yesterday. That is a first round draft pick for the Padres that might go to the Pirates because of this of who's
that's
voting.
That's right. They
and
do get a first round draft.
I mean,
pick.
There's a lot on the line here. So I don't understand the Skenes over the Merrill conversation. Merrill has done so much more and has done it in such a longer span of time and more of an impact. That's why I don't. That's why I think awards are dumb is because of these situations right here.
Yes. All right. Well, I got that off my chest. I hope I didn't anger too many people. I know that we have a phone call, but we also have to get the break because the Big Five is on the way. And I asked Braden and Tony for their thoughts on one player who has struggled a little bit, and his name is not Robert Suarez. And so I'll talk to them about that in the Big Five next when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. You know, for a lot of people to say rookie of the year doesn't matter, there is certainly a lot of chatting going on our YouTube chat about rookie of the year. Welcome back into Gwen and Chris, everybody. I'm Matt Scraby. This is 97.3 The Fan. Real quick, let's sneak in a phone call from John in East County. He would like to talk about the MLB awards and the whole Jackson Merrill situation. What's up, John? How are you doing?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
You know, one solution to this whole thing is I think the players should vote. Get rid of all the sports writers, all the bias, and just let the players vote. And I think that way you'll get a true, you know, feeling of exactly who's who and what's what. You know, nobody knows better than the players. And I think a lot of these sports writers are definitely biased. I think the players should vote.
I think that's a good idea, John. Thank you for the phone call.
I don't mind that either.
Yeah, if you are getting votes...
I was just going to say, in college football, they have a thing where obviously it's called the coaches' poll, where the coaches vote, and they don't have time to watch all of these different teams because they're focused on their own, and it...
You know, but I would think that players talk.
You play everybody though now.
Yeah, you do play everybody.
In baseball, you play everybody, so you could be like, you know, these guys know who's good and who's not. I'm seeing all-star games and stuff like that, and they'll be like players probably in the division that will probably vote more for guys in their own division than other divisions. I think it would probably balance itself out.
Or friends, or you know, it's
I'm sure there's bias in that too. I mean, there's no like clear cut way to
but
to
Jim
figure it
Bowden
out.
sitting on his couch writing his article saying that Skenes is the guy doesn't necessarily make me feel like he, you know, is any better at deciding the rookie of the year than all of us. Let's go to Tyler real quick in Point Loma. Hello. Adam and I keep hitting the button together, and one of us puts them on hold, one of us puts them on. Anyway, Tyler, what's up? How are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
Good, doing well. Good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, first, really quick, shout out to the YouTube chat. Only reason my thoughts aren't in there is because I'm driving right now. But okay. I'm just like, the whole Jackson Merrill versus Paul Skenes thing is so annoying to me because I feel like everybody knows we're in an era of baseball where MLB itself is saying, hey, the pitching's gotten really good. It's going to keep getting good. And we're literally making changes to the rules of the game to incentivize offense. And so why is a breakout offensive performance from a rookie getting devalued for a performance by a rookie pitcher? It just doesn't make sense to me. I think what Jackson Merrill is doing is far beyond what Paul Skenes is pulling off. But at the end of the day, you know, if I had to choose between two awards, I'll take World Series MVP for Merrill over Rookie of the Year any day.
I love that, Tyler. And you dropped the mic on that one. And by the way, I would much rather have a World Series title than a Rookie of the Year title as well. But because Jackson Merrill deserves it is the reason I am going to keep fighting for it. All right. It is now time for us to go and get into the weird world of the Big Five after traffic. No traffic. Adam already told me that. Here comes the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. So, we got topics all over the place today in the Big Five, but of course we're going to be starting with a Padres topic in our first spot.
Number five.
And I know that we are celebrating last night and we are looking at the positive, but I have had many questions asked to me about Xander Bogaerts. In his last five games, he has three errors and he hasn't quite looked 100% comfortable at the shortstop position. But Braden, you're up first today. Is his latest play at shortstop a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I don't really think it's that big of a deal, so I'm going to go with in between little deal and no deal, potentially.
Baby deal.
I think there might be a little bit to him moving back to shortstop, but the reality is the guy's a pro's pro. I mean, he's one of the best professionals the Padres have had in their organization in the last 10 to 15 years, and that's not saying, you know, the Padres haven't had a lot of pros, but that's just saying how great Xander Bogaerts is. I think he's going to get back to his normal playing spot, you know, at shortstop where he feels comfortable. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, he went out and owned it during the post-game celebration. He said, I'll get the shortstop thing figured out, Padres fans. Don't worry about it. So I'm not worried about it. The guy's won multiple World Series. He's been there. He's done that. I think he'll rise to the occasion. I don't think it's a big deal.
All right, Tony, Xander Bogaerts' recent shortstop play, big deal, little deal, I guess baby deal, or no deal?
Baby deal. I don't think this is anything at all. I mean, because when he first moved over there, he was pretty much flawless. He just hit a rut here in the last week and a half where he's made some errors. But the first couple of weeks he was there, he didn't have any, and he made every play, and some plays that he probably shouldn't have made. I think he's just in a little bit of a rut. As Braden perfectly said, he's a pro's pro. He'll figure it out, no doubt. Baby, no deal. No deal.
No deal. Not even a baby deal. No deal.
Nah.
All right.
Number four.
Now that the baseball season is coming to an end, Black Monday is coming for some managers, and CBS Sports put a list together of managers that are on the hot seat, and there are only actually three managers on this list, so the three are Bud Black of the Rockies, John Schneider of the Blue Jays, Oliver Marmol of the Cardinals. Tony, do you see any of these managers being let go?
There could be two. Cardinals, maybe. They could go a different route, you know, based on how they've operated before. I could see them definitely doing it. They did it to Mike Schilt, so
they did,
and he had more success. So, and then who was the other one?
John Schneider.
Who was the other option you get?
And Bud Black.
And that's the other one because they had high expectations. Yeah, I don't know about Bud. I don't think Bud is as much as dangerous as those other two because, you know. What did the Rockies actually have some players that have developed there a little bit. So, you know, other than that, they didn't really have much. You know, the big signing they made hasn't worked out at all with Chris Bryant, unfortunately, been banged up. And so, there's not, where else is you going to go? I think he'll be fine. I think the other two, though, expectation and, you know, how they've operated in the past would tell you that those two could be in trouble.
Braden, do you see any of these managers being let go?
I think Schneider's gone. I think it's 50-50 on Marmol, and I don't think Bud Black goes. I just, like Tony said, I don't know what the point in firing Bud Black would be. Bud Black has been given a lot of poor rosters over his career.
Entire career.
With the exception of 2010, of course, Tony. That was a great squad you guys had there for the Padres. But,
thank you.
But, you know, Toronto, they had high expectations. I mean, that was supposed to be a team that was supposed to compete for a division title and a team that's going to be, you know, make a run in the playoffs. And, you know, they have a good roster. I think Schneider's going to be gone. Marmol's kind of 50-50, but, I mean, that's another year in a row where the Cardinals have just kind of been disappointing. I mean, the Cardinals have been an organization that is constantly and consistently been in the postseason, and this is 2 years in a row where they haven't really been close to being in the postseason. And as Tony said, they got rid of Schilt there in St. Louis for, you know, and he had way more success than Marmol has had. Again, the Cardinals, more of an aging team with some young guys in there, but still a team that, you know, talent-wise probably should have been a lot closer to a playoff spot. So if I had to rank them in order, I'd go Schneider gets fired. I think Marmol's probably 50-50. And if the Rockies fire Bud Black, I don't know what they're doing.
No one knows what they're doing, Braden. That's the point of the Rockies. You know what tells me about why the Cardinals are going to fire Oliver Marmol was the attendance that we saw when the Padres went there and there was no one in the seats. And when butts aren't in seats, yeah, people make changes.
It's not good, especially for an organization like the Cardinals that, you know, usually has tons of people there.
Yeah. All right.
Number three.
Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce has 8 catches for 69 yards through his first 3 games this season, and many people are wondering if anything is wrong with him. Here is Todd McShay talking about what he thinks is the issue on the Ryan Russillo podcast.
Are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape, that he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet-setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it. But he's not the same guy right now. I'm not blaming it on Taylor Swift. I'm not blaming anything. All I'm saying is when you win 2 Super Bowls, you've got the whole tour that happens after the Super Bowl. There's no one else doing more commercials, I don't think, in the league. I mean, he and Mahomes are up there, but I think Kelce's doing more commercials and things. He's been at more events, doing more things socially. It's impossible to carry that schedule and still put in the same amount of time for football.
Well, there you go. That was Todd McShay. Braden, you're up first on this one. And do you think it's okay to criticize Travis Kelce for this?
For his lack of performance? I think it's fair to criticize.
No, his off-the-field.
Oh, off-the-field stuff? I mean, I think it's an interesting conversation. I don't necessarily know if it's 100% the blame for this particular deal, but you know, a lot of guys have to you know, go through the business side of things too, and I think, you know, I don't think it's really an excuse you know, for Travis Kelce in terms of his production. I think it's kind of a lower blow on the you know, to say like, well, he's won the 2 Super Bowls and all this other stuff and dating Taylor Swift. I think it's an easy cop out. To be honest with you, the real reason why Travis Kelce is not doing well is because I drafted him on 2 fantasy teams. So I drafted him and Mahomes. So if you want to know why Kelce's not playing well, it's because I drafted him. And I literally was sitting there going like, you know what? Because I'm not a huge Travis Kelce fan. That's nothing to do with Taylor Swift. I haven't really been a fan of him in the past. And I was like, yeah, 2 things can happen here. 1, he's going to help my team out. Or 2, I just curse him on accident. And it works out in my favor on that particular case.
You cursed him.
I will say, in Travis Kelce's defense, it's because Braden Soprenant drafted him in fantasy football more than him having to go through all this other off-field stuff. But I do think that is, you know, that does catch up to a lot of athletes throughout sports. I don't think it's Kelce's fault, but it's a very difficult task to do, to be everywhere that he needs to be and also perform at a high level. It's very difficult.
Tony, what's it like? Because I know you do a lot of commercials and stuff. How do you get everything, keep everything done? I'm just kidding. Do you think it's okay to criticize Travis Kelce for this?
I think it's poor taste. I don't think it's poor taste to criticize him. I think it's poor taste to make it about what he was jet setting and whatever else he said in that little clip. I think it's fair to say he looks out of shape. I think that's, you know, that's within the bounds. I don't think I mean he didn't break a law by saying what he said, but it just seemed like poor taste. He took a pot shot. Like,
it's a little blow.
Have to say jet setting. Yeah, it was. It was a little pot shot. But you know, it's not egregious, you know what I'm saying? But he took a little pot shot, for sure.
All right, Todd McShay and I think alike, though, because I said this before the year, everybody. I said this before the year.
Number 2.
You said what before the year?
Travis Kelce was going to struggle because he's more concerned with off the field than on the field.
He should have had this on Who's the Blame yesterday.
I should have. That's
not true. You don't know that.
Maybe
just because he's struggling does not make it true.
Maybe he's just old. Can we accept that?
Yeah, maybe he's... Maybe he's out of shape.
Father he's like 36 now or something.
Wow.
Is he 36?
He's pretty up there is what I was about to say. Let me see his age real quick.
He's 34.
Oh, he's 34. He turns 35 in October.
Yeah, nah, he got some tread on them tires, dog.
Hey, you know what? It's a long NFL season. He needs to put it together to the end.
He's gonna pace himself.
Yep. I just hate the Chiefs so much. I know.
They text the Niners. That's why.
Number two.
UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka is leaving his team just 3 games into the season because of, well, some are saying it's because he didn't get the money he was promised by the school. His statement on X said, quote, "I have decided to utilize my redshirt year and will not be playing in any additional games this season. I committed to UNLV based on certain representations that were made to me, which were not upheld after I enrolled. Despite discussions, it became clear that these commitments would not be fulfilled in the future. I wish my teammates the best of luck this season and hope for the continued success of the program." Now, his reps are saying he was promised a minimum of $100,000, but he only received $3,000. And the school is saying that his reps are strong-arming or trying to strong-arm the school into paying him money. So,
Did you see the UNLV statement?
Yes, they said that they were approached by his people. Go ahead, do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, it said, football player Matthew Sluka's representative made financial demands upon the university and its NIL collective in order to continue playing. UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as violation of the NCAA pay-for-play rules as well as Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV has honored all previously agreed-upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka. UNLV has conducted its due diligence and will continue to operate its programs within the framework of NCAA rules and regulations as well as Nevada state laws. A lot of he said, she said.
Yes, yes, very much so. So, Tony, good luck on
Somebody's
this one.
Lying.
Yes. Do you, I guess I'm just going to change my question and go, who's to blame here?
No, just what question were you going to ask?
I was going to say, do you think what he did is okay, but who's to blame is the better question.
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows who's to blame. We're just kind of getting, he said, as Brayden said, he said, she said, going right now, and nothing to prove one side is right or the other. Him and his representation very well could be trying to strong arm this school, or we certainly have seen schools renege on, giving what they said they're going to give. So I think in due time we'll get the true answer, but this is part of the new way we do things. These are issues that are bound to happen and will start happening more.
Tony, do you think that what he did was wrong?
What did he do? We don't know.
Left the team.
What did he do?
He transferred.
Oh, that part. Yeah. I personally wouldn't be playing for money. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where it starts. Like, I get it. You want to get a bag right now, but, you know, you're supposed to, you know, at least in my perspective, I'm going to put me wanting to play the game over, you know, whatever the amount of money is.
Yeah. Braden.
Things with this. Carl Reed Jr. of 24/7 Sports, he's a college football analyst, had this report last night. All financial commitments for UNLV's quarterback Matthew Sluka were completely met, but after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent, and they collectively feel that his market value has increased, per source. Again, it's more he said, she said. In this day and age of college football, you have to look at it both sides, right? I mean, I think it's more of a what's the saying? You know, don't blame the player, blame the game kind of attitude. And I think a lot of college football players now and college athletes are interested in money, probably a little bit more than playing the game in some sort of sense. And you know what? Who's to blame them for what the environment is? I mean, if you look at Sluka, he is in his last. He's got 1 year left of college football. He's not going to be good enough to play in the National Football League. He has an opportunity, potentially, to make a couple $100,000. There's reports, and again, rumors, that other schools have contacted him and saying, like, hey, if you redshirt, we could pay you X amount of dollars to transfer to our school. So if you have a kid that is not going to go pro and not going to play in the professional leagues and has an opportunity to make $300,000 at a different school next year, if you got 1 year of eligibility left, you know, what kind of decision are you going to make there? Are you willing to just leave? Again, it's, you're making a choice here. Are you willing to quit on your team that you're 3-0 with, that has a chance to make the college football playoff, to make $300,000 potentially next year? There's no guarantee. Or, you know, do you stay and you keep playing with your team? There's so much to unpack on this that it's a difficult decision, I think. And the reality is, who's to blame? Is the NCAA for not having any guidelines to this wild, wild west mix that is out there?
I got to say, I enjoy being given a different perspective. In that situation, you're right. That does kind of complicate it. It makes it a little bit more complex. As you know, I think oftentimes people think of these athletes as, oh, they're going to the league no matter what. But here's a situation where, as you said, this dude's not going to play football beyond college. Why not get a head start in life after playing and being able to capitalize on it while you can? It's a great point. But it is partly the NCAA's fault for not have first being unrelenting in their rules, which really led to athletes pushing for this, and then not reacting fast enough to what was going on. And so this is part of the deal now.
It's an interesting topic of discussion that, you know, we can obviously get into more on a different day. But, you know, to me, you're still, it's, you know, it's the whole Josh Hader thing, right? Where it's, you know, you can leave for the bigger contract, which is fine, and that's his right. But then at the same time, don't expect Padres fans to cheer for you when you come back. I mean, it's the give and take, and you're willing to make that decision. So if you're willing to, you know, I mean, he's still quitting on his team in a way, but again, he's looking out for himself in the long term. So it's very interesting. It's a tough decision that I think a lot of parents, obviously, and kids have to deal with right now with the way it is because they didn't make any rules. You know, do you think what he did is okay? I mean, I think there's something to be said about a guy that's completing less than half of his passes to go out there and demand more money after 3 weeks on a 3-0 team and go, I'm out, and then just abandon his team, who, by the way, is expected to play. They're not that this matters with gambling, but their line went from they're favored by 5 to now they're even with Fresno State, and they had another player just announced that he is leaving, the 4th leading rusher on UNLV. Only got 1 carry against Kansas. He said the same thing. His promises weren't met. He's out. How many more of these players going to do that? Tony, here's the other thing, too. Don't be surprised if you start seeing a bunch of teams having guys enter the transfer portal after this week, because you can play
the red shirt
4 games and still get a red shirt in. Yep. So we are far from done with this. And I, you know what? Who's to blame? It's the NCAA for not putting in rules and just letting everything just go to chaos in college athletics.
We might have to bring this up tomorrow again just to expand on it a little bit, because it seems like there's more there.
I love the Josh Hader shot that Brady tried to sneak in there somehow, connecting.
It wasn't me for once.
I don't have a problem with Josh Hader, but there's so many Padres fans that boo him because he left. I mean, the reality is, and you know, you take the money, that's your right, but at the same time,
I have to get moving, guys. I'm sorry. We're going to have to.
I'm just saying, I don't think he expected to get cheers.
Yeah, well, that's...
No, he said that.
And I don't think Padres fans should boo him. I think it's a waste of our time.
All I know is, going forward, when anyone does something selfish, I'm going to call him a sluka. I'm just going to be like, you're such a sluka.
Number one.
Okay, nothing. Josh Allen said after he threw 4 touchdown passes on Monday night, it's a fun and wonderful thing when you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns. Now, a lot of people thought he was talking about Stephon Diggs, who's now playing for the Texans. So he was asked about it today, and he said, quote, I know there's a lot of people talking. I'm not trying to tear anybody down. I've loved everybody that I've played with. I love 14. I still do. But everyone wants to keep making this thing a thing. We're so focused on what's going on inside of our building, blah, 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 blah. Braden, do you think he was talking about Stephon Diggs?
Not really. I really don't think so.
Oh, come on!
I don't think he really did. I think we're trying to make it a big deal out of nothing. I mean, you can say what you want, but that's the problem with assuming things. What does it do, Scraby?
I can't say it on the radio, Braden.
Yeah, well, that's where you're at right now with some of this. I think the media is trying to pull something out of this that it's not. I mean, the guy said we're focused and he's worried about his team. I don't know what the point of that would be to take a shot at one of his former teammates.
Tony?
See, Braden, what you don't know is this is right up Scraby's alley. This is how his brain operates when it comes to these subjects. So it's not a surprise at all that this is the question. And yes,
God loves stirring the pot.
If it wasn't you, it would have been me. That said, this is one of those topics that we have no idea, and it's probably a big overblown pile of nothing. And so,
I don't know about that.
Therefore,
but
we'll just leave it
on
at that.
We'll move on. Stephon Diggs is a Sluka. We know this. He's hard to play with, okay?
Josh Hader, Sluka.
Sluka.
Stephon Diggs. We're just throwing just strays at so many athletes for no reason.
I mean, it's kind of crazy that There was issues with Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen said it's a fun and wonderful thing when you have a bunch of guys who don't care about stats, which everybody said that Stephon Diggs cared about stats.
He hasn't been on his team.
My brain exploded.
He hasn't been on his team since last year.
We're talking about last year. That was last year, right, to quote Mike Leach.
Thank you very much, guys. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to get you set for Game 2. We're going to hear some more fun interviews that Tony did in the clubhouse after they clinched their playoff spot. So stick around with us on 97.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.